Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to this extended edition of the No Spoiler Review podcast, where today I'm going to be interviewing award-winning Emmy and Tony-nominated filmmaker Ben Diezis. Hey Ben, how are you doing?
Hi Mark, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So Ben, how did you get started in the industry? Now that you're working as a writer, producer, and director, what came first?
Well, I actually was an actor. I grew up in New Jersey, obsessed with Broadway and all things theater. And that was actually my first foray into the industry. I worked as a stage actor into my early 20s. And then at a certain point, I just decided, you know what? I think I want to be on the other side of the table. And I think I want to kind of be moving the pieces around versus just being one of the pieces of the puzzle. So I ended up getting an internship at MTV. And I stayed there for about 4 years. I worked my way up from production assistant to writer, and I became one of the original producers of MTV Cribs. And that was how I kind of got my big break.
Got it. So what do you think helped you the most when you were starting out?
Well, I think just saying yes to things was very important. You know, not worrying about money. I think a lot of times people, they worry about what's in it for them. And early in my career, I would just want to be in the room. So a lot of times, even at MTV, I would just, they would have a bag of tapes that needed to go downtown New York City, and everybody would kind of avoid going down there to do it. And I'd be the first one to say, you know what, that's fine. On the other end of the trip, I would be in an edit suite where they'd be editing, you know, a big MTV show, and I'd be able to hang out and be in the room and see how it really works. So I think just saying yes and putting yourself in the room was a big part of what led me to where I'm at.
So when you're assessing a project, what are you looking for? What's the potential that you're after?
You know, before it was just, I was just saying yes to everything. I just needed to work and just keep myself going. But as I've gotten further along in my career, I've really honed in on doing things that represent the Latinx experience. Not necessarily like content that is for Latinos only, but it's just really rooted in the Latinx experience. Those are the kind of projects that I'm really excited about, is bringing Latino stories to everybody. So those are like kind of the barometer that I use to dictate whether I'm going to jump onto a project or not.
Got it. I recently watched John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons on Netflix, which I greatly enjoyed. And that's particularly seems to fit that brief. How did that come about?
Well, you know, John, who when I was a theater junkie, and I still am a theater junkie, he was one of my heroes growing up. So, you know, John would always do a one-man show every few years that was really rooted in his personal experience, in his personal life. And so as he's gotten older, the themes and the topics that he covers have evolved as well. So for that show in particular, he was helping his son with the school project about Latin heroes. And at the time, his son said, hey, tell me some Latin heroes. I don't know any. And all of a sudden, John realized that he didn't know any of that himself. So he realized there's a big void in what's being told are the Latin contributions to society, to American culture, to history. And that was really the genesis of the project, was John just trying to really get Latino contributions to be more highlighted and to be more celebrated.
And do you think it's had a real effect, crossing the divide, as it were, and expanding Latin history to people who weren't aware of it?
Absolutely. It's crazy, because when we were first working on that show, people would tell John, well, you know, everybody loves your shows, but nobody's going to want to come and sit and listen to a two-hour history lesson on Broadway. And he kind of stuck to his guns. And before we knew it, we were on Broadway, and he was the first show to actually reap profits that first season. So, you know, sometimes you got to just listen to your gut and just go with it.
Got it. And then from then on in 2019, you produced the Raul Julia, The World's a Stage documentary. What led you to that project?
Well, as a Puerto Rican aspiring theater actor myself, there weren't many people that I could really look up to and admire who were making it on Broadway. And when I was very young, I knew of Raul Julia, and I was just amazed by his talent and amazed by the fact that this Puerto Rican guy with a heavy accent was able to really transcend and become a superstar on Broadway. A lot of people recognize him from Gomez and the Addams Family, but he was so much more. Mm. So, you know, I was bouncing around the internet one day, and I was looking up clips, as I do, you know, rare clips of some of my heroes. And I found a clip of Raul Julia in a dressing room when he was doing Shakespeare in the Park. He was very young, and he was doing an interview backstage, and he was talking about how when he first started doing Shakespeare, he thought he should do it in a British way. He starts imitating the British accent and so on and so forth and all that. And then he realizes that, you know what? But I realized I could bring my own culture, my own essence, my own Puerto Ricanness to Shakespeare because Shakespeare is too big. Hmm. And that really just resonated with me. And I just thought, wow, that speaks to me because in a way I'm trying to bring my own culture, but I'm trying to bring it for everybody. I'm not trying to change who I am. I'm trying to share who I am. And that was just something that really stuck with me. And a couple years later, I happened to be in a gala event in Hollywood where his wife, his widow was. And I made a beeline to her table and I told her, I've always admired your husband. And I feel like his story and his legacy hasn't been celebrated to the level he deserves. And I would love to tell his story. Mm. And she told me, oh, well, I've you know, other people have come to me, but why don't we have lunch and we'll talk about it. And we had lunch and right then and there, she gave me the permission to move ahead. And that's how that came about.
One question. The actual performance with Raul Julia and Meryl Streep, is that actually available to see? Because the little glimpse of that we get in the film, it's electric. It's like two people at their absolute peak.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. No, you know, the guy who directed that special where the clips came from is this guy named Christopher Dix. He was amazing. He was an amazing filmmaker himself, and he gave us the rights to use those clips. And unfortunately, there isn't like a full-on version that the public can see, but mm-hmm. those clips that we use are part of a longer special that he did. And so you can certainly see much more of his performance and her performance. And like you said, they were right at the peak of their talent, and they were just, you could just tell. I mean, I think Meryl Streep was like 25 or so in that moment. And you could just tell, wow, these two are destined for something big.
Yes, for sure, for sure. What do you think he'd be doing now if he was still with us?
I think he'd be opening a lot of doors for people like me mm-hmm. to tell our stories. I think he would be one of our kind of our elder statesmen in the industry. I think he would have probably a shelf full of awards that he never got to receive while he was alive. And I just think he would be still in it. I think mm-hmm. he would be still in it. He died about 25 years ago and far too soon. But right now, he would have been in his late 70s or so, maybe 80 years old or so. So mm-hmm. I think he would have still been active.
For sure. I mean, my first experience of him was watching him in Kiss of the Spider Woman. And that was a glimpse of the serious man. How do you feel the Puerto Rican character has manifested itself over the last decades?
You know, it's interesting. It's a good point. I mean, we've been part of the industry for many, many years going back. You think about people like Jose Ferrer, who was also a great Shakespearean actor in his own right. We talk about, you know, Rita Moreno, who is an EGOT, you know, winner of Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. So I think that we've been present, but I think we've had little kind of pieces. We haven't had like kind of not like the African American community or some other cultures that have really had their moment. It's only been like kind of pieces here and there. So I think that the best is yet to come, I would say.
Who do you think's leading the vanguard, leading the current charge in modern day terms? What performance or what production have you seen where you thought, ah, this is the next step on?
Well, you know, not just speaking about like Puerto Rican actors, but Latino actors in particular. I think, you know, people like, he's Puerto Rican. Benicio del Toro is incredible. Someone like Oscar Isaacs is incredible. And, you know, we've had a lot of actresses in television that are doing fantastic things like Gina Rodriguez and, you know, Justina Machado. And even Rita Moreno is still on television and doing her thing. So I think I'm excited about the people who are kind of at the forefront right now. But I'm also excited about some of my peers that are not necessarily household names just yet. But I do believe they will be. So I'm excited for what's coming, for sure.
So who would be the subject of your dream documentary assignment?
Somebody I really want to do a documentary on is Desi Arnaz. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, again, somebody who is known for one thing, but when you start digging back the layers, you know, he's known for I Love Lucy and being Ricky Ricardo. But what people don't realize is that he helped create the television syndication system. He helped create the multi-cam sitcom, which is something that I direct now. I direct for Disney. So if you look at shows like Big Bang Theory or, you know, any of those multi-cam shows that have a laugh track, that was all invented by Desi Arnaz.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to tell his story and say, okay, you think you know, and this is obviously this is Ricky Ricardo, but when you start looking at the giant that he was in the industry from a technical point of view and also from like a business side, he's second to none when you think about Hollywood. So I would love to tell that story.
Wow. So where do you see films and programming going in the next 5 years after hopefully we all emerge out of this COVID cloud?
I think that this COVID situation that we're in now, fortunately, will pass. And mm-hmm. I think right now it feels very present with good reason. I mean, we're dealing with it on a daily basis. I'm here in an airport. I have to wear a mask all the time. And it's just, I think those things eventually will melt away. We won't go back to what it was before 100%. But I think with that, in terms of society, the same thing in the industry. I think Hollywood and the entertainment will flourish. I don't think it's going anywhere. But I do think that there's been a shift mm-hmm. in terms of like diversity and telling the stories. I mean, we've all heard diversity for many, many years, and for 20 plus years. It's coming. It's coming. We have to do more. But I do feel like there's been a shift. And I think that the pandemic might have even accelerated some of that, because it allowed people to really take a hard look at every facet of the entertainment industry, including diversity, and make some real changes. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what's coming.
Given the appetite that people have now developed for documentaries, with providers like Netflix raising the bar, what do you think is the next step for the genre?
I think that things are going to head into more like a hybrid format, which is that documentaries will have cinematic elements that'll feel almost like scripted, and may even have like, not, I'm not talking about reenactments like the old school, whatever you would see on like a Discovery crime show, etc. I'm talking about like almost elements of movies and elements of documentaries will be infused in each of those formats. That's where I'm seeing it go. And even with the Raul Julia documentary, we tried to do bits and pieces of that. And it was great to kind of infuse like movie scenes into it. And somebody who's a really good friend of mine, two good friends of mine, Christina Ibarra and Alex Rivera, last year they won at Sundance with a hybrid narrative/documentary film called The Infiltrators. Mm-hmm. So I think that those are like, they're kind of at the vanguard and the forefront of where I think documentary is going, which is, it's just all storytelling ultimately.
So what key piece of advice would you give somebody who's inspired by the journey that you've made?
I would say there's a couple of things, and it's simple because it applies to kind of any industry. It's nothing, there's no like secret formula. Some of it is just basic, which is just do it. Don't wait for the perfect time to make your film or to tell your story or to write your script. Just do it. You almost have to get it out of your system in order to see what else is beyond that. And the other thing I would say is to just keep showing up. Like a lot of my success has come from me showing up and just saying yes to things that other people might have said no to. Mm-hmm. And not, I don't chase, even now, I don't chase money. I don't chase awards. That stuff is not what I'm in it for. I'm doing it because I love telling stories and I have something to say and I want to share it. So I would say focus on those things. If you're in it because you want to be famous or rich or anything like that, that's kind of a fleeting motivation. So I would say just do it and keep showing up.
Cool. And what's the next project for you?
Well, right now I've been doing a lot of things with the COVID kind of crisis. So I'm working on a documentary film that's following a group of doctors, immigrant doctors in New York City that are at the forefront of the COVID crisis. It's called SOMOS is the name of the organization. It's 2,500 immigrant doctors mostly that are really leading the way in New York City with the testing at first. They help keep the Wall Street open, and now they're leading the way. They're doing the vaccinations at Yankee Stadium starting tomorrow. So I'm here to film that. I just landed in New York City and heading over there to film that. That's something I'm excited about. I'm partners with John Leguizamo, and we have several projects in development right now, including non-scripted and scripted. And I have a couple of sitcoms that we're in the middle of pitching. So it's good. I'm excited about what's coming.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much, Ben, for coming on the show. And I wish you all the very best for 2021.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks so much.
So there you have it. I hope you like what you heard. And if you fancy having some more No Spoiler interviews delivered to your favorite listening device, then please consider subscribing. In addition to these interviews, please check out our fortnightly No Spoiler Reviews podcasts, where we do movie news, in-depth requests/reviews, and also look at what's coming next in our trailer watch feature. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then I look forward to you joining us for even more interviews and reviews.